let's just end the sermon there. Let's send you out onto the streets to preach it. Repent, repent. How do you think you'd go on the corner yelling out repent to people? It's a bit of stone throwing. You might get a few polite smiles. Three circles would work better. It's a confronting message, though, isn't it? Repent or die. Repent from what, though? What's this call to repentance? The message is true, though, isn't it? We need to repent. We need to flee from sin. You've heard it in the last couple of weeks in this series of No Shades of Grey, where we've been thinking about sin and its total blackness on our lives. It's something that we don't need in our lives that we should flee from. So repentance is the sticky step where we've fallen into sin. And we need to do something about it, isn't it? We need to turn around from sin and flee from it. The world probably doesn't want to hear that story, though. They don't want to hear that they're stuck in sin, that they've got a problem, that they need to repent. But that's the story of sin. Romans 6 says it well, that the wages of sin is death. Repent or die. Because the story is, if we don't repent, if we do not turn from our sin, the only thing we will find is death. Yet, in the brokenness of this world, isn't it so true that people are happy living in sin? They're happy living in their brokenness. They're trying to find answers, I think. That's the picture of the three circles. People are trying to escape the brokenness of sin of this world. They try and do it in bad ways. Alcohol, drugs, you name it. You've probably got a good list. And people try and do it in good ways. Throw themselves into their family. Throw themselves into a job. Try and be a good citizen. That'll patch up sin, won't it? No. Sin has infiltrated this world in a way that is unbelievable. And so that call to repent or die, it shakes us up, doesn't it? It can leave people feeling a little bit out, though. That call to repentance is huge. Jesus said it in his message today to those people that brought him news of the people dying as they are giving a sacrifice in the temple. Pilate had them executed in the temple, their blood mixed with their offerings. Shocking. And the people who had died in a collapse of a tower, 18 people died. The men bringing the news to Jesus, they were like, wow, these guys, they must have died in their sin. Maybe we can reflect that onto our brother in Christ, Father Joseph Tran, who died this week. Sin. We like to lump it on people and say it's worse in some cases, murderers, cheats, adulterers, pedophiles. They're bad sinners. They deserve what they get. But Jesus says, no. That's not the case, is it? Sin is sin. He says to his followers, the people there with him, he says, you too must repent or you will perish also. Sin is not just a problem for those people who are happily stuck in sin, but it's a problem for everyone. Repentance isn't just a call for the world to turn back to God. It's a call for all of us to live this lifestyle of repentance. In 1 John 1:8, we hear this claim of sin infiltrating all of our lives. John tells us, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we examine ourselves, if we let God's law expose the sin in our lives, we can see how it infiltrates even into our godly lives where we're trying to follow Jesus with our hearts and our lives. Sin has an amazing way of creeping in. Jesus started his ministry by this call to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. It is something that we all need to face up to. Luther, when he first started the Reformation, he wrote those 95 theses that he pinned on the wall at Wittenberg. And the first point in there, he wrote, "When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, 'Repent,' he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance." Luther was dealing with an issue where they could pay in an indulgence. Just pay for your sin. Pay $50 and you're out of jail free. And then you could go off and do whatever you liked. I've got this bit of paper. Luther was trying to turn people's heart back to the real claim of the Bible. We need a lifestyle of repentance. We need to confront sin in our lives and do something from it. Turn away from it. So, repentance. It's critical for those that don't know Jesus to turn to God, to repent of their sinful life. So a one-off occasion, repentance, but it's also an ongoing lifestyle for everyone who comes to know the Lord as their Savior. It's a day-to-day practice that we need to keep in tune with. Now, if you're like me, though, it's not nice facing up to your sin. I hate it. You know, I make a joke about my kids and the cookie jar and how they react when you catch them in the midst of doing something wrong. But we're all the same, aren't we? You try and justify it. You try and blame someone else. That sin's not mine. That's really someone else's problem. We try and sweep it under the carpet, pretend it doesn't happen. But that's not the life that Christ calls us to live. He calls us to live in his light and let his light reveal the darkness within. So, owning up to our sin, it's like dragging ourselves through the mud, isn't it? Why do we have to do it when we're holy and beloved people of God? Why do we have to keep flogging ourselves? Well, repentance isn't all about sin. There's a good side to this story. It's like two sides to a coin. Let me bring some joy into the face of repentance then. Jesus summed it up well when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," when he started his ministry. Repentance goes in hand with the loving grace that we have in Jesus Christ. It's the picture. It's the bigger picture right throughout the Bible. We often think that God's the judge and he's going to condemn sin. And the world's, you know, when they hear repent, that's the picture that they see, a judging God. But that is not the picture of a God that I see in my Bible. The bigger picture is a God, like Psalm 103 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse. He will not harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." And we heard it in our Isaiah reading, didn't we? I'll read a couple of verses again. "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And let them turn to our God and he will freely pardon." So the picture of repentance and repent, yes, involves sin. But what's greater than that is the picture of our God. We often let sin overshadow our lives, yet it's clear throughout the Bible that God is far greater than our sin. The devil likes to play his cards in this area. He likes to make us think that our sin drives us so far from God that he can't love us or not fully love us. Our sin makes us look so bad that God doesn't want anything to do with us. In the three circles that we shared last week, there's a guy that said, "Oh, I've got to get myself off the weed before I can turn to Jesus." You know, it's this idea that we have to clean ourselves up so that we can repent and then we'll be right. No, that's not repentance at all. Repentance is in the coalface of sin. We have a God who is bigger, who has something to say about sin and how it separates us from him. Repentance is all about his love, mercy, and forgiveness won for us in Jesus Christ. God sent his one and only Son into this world to walk that perfect life of sinlessness. He took our sin on himself and carried it to the cross. And he died in our sin. He took it to the grave. And he rose victorious over that sin. Repentance then is not dwelling in how bad we are. It's not in our strength in turning from it. Repentance is about a kingdom that has come near, that is at hand. A God who doesn't turn away from us, that is right there in the midst of our struggle. I showed the kids that sin is like leading us away from the Lord. And we may fear that repentance, it's too hard. I've got a lot of work to get back to the cross, but no way. When we turn in repentance, God is right there. So if you're stuck in perpetual sin in your life, if you're stuck in pornography or lust or greed or envy, welcome Jesus into that space. He is bigger than those things. Repent, confess it's there, and know that Jesus is bigger and right there riding with you through it all. This is true repentance, knowing that God is bigger. We have one lifetime to live in sin. We've got all eternity to live in righteousness. We've got an opportunity now to repent and to live in this space between now and forever. We've got a chance to bring that good news to the world. Yes, we can tell them to repent, but explain what that repentance is. It means just trusting in a Lord that has taken our sin to the grave. Turn to him, believe in him, leave behind your sin and follow a Lord who can lead you into eternity. When we repent, we're turning from death to life, aren't we? When we repent, we're saying that God is bigger than our sin and he is able to do something about it. When we repent, we know that God's way is better than our ways, that he offers a life beyond our sin. When we repent, we trust that God is able to do something about our sin. He's done something, and he can lead you into a newness of life. When we repent, we're really saying we're standing on the rock of Christ, that his blood covers us, and that I can stand firm in that. And when we repent, it's not about what we're doing, but the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ in our lives. So let's live daily in repentance. Let's not be ashamed of that word. Let's speak it to our brothers and sisters in Christ when we hear that they've fallen into sin. Let's turn back to the Lord together. Let's repent together. And let's preach it to our neighborhoods that they can turn to a loving and merciful and forgiving Lord who has paid for their sins. We can preach that with passion and with love. So let's turn our eyes to our Lord in everything this week. When we feel that we've fallen into sin, let's happily step into repentance. So my prayer for you this week is to find joy in repentance, to see that we have a God that loves us beyond our sin, that the cross of Christ has taken everything that separates us from the love of God, and he's dealt with it. So let's just stand firm in that in repentance, and let the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ flow over us so that we can be his light and salt in this earth. So I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding guide your hearts and minds into this amazing Lord we have in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Well, knowing that we don't always turn to the Lord, that we sometimes sweep that sin under the carpet, that we try and justify it, let's